Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Artifact Podcast, Episode 7. My name is Science Fan, joined by Swim and Sajdine. Before we get started, I need to say a couple things. First of all, how do you pronounce her name, Swim?
Sajdine.
Okay, so yes. On the BTS launch, or not launch party, we're going to get to that later, the BTS tournament preview, Fwash pronounced it as Sajdina, I believe.
Yeah. Sajdini. No, Sajdini? Wait.
I think we need to create a petition to have, I don't even blame Fwash. Your name is
really
terrible.
Hard.
It's a horrible nickname. You need to change it immediately.
Yeah, it doesn't even list your favorite sports team in it.
Exactly. Mine.
Like, everybody doesn't even realize. No, majority of people don't realize you're a fan of the Phoenix Suns. They think you're a fan of like the freaking sun up in the sky.
Either way, it's a win. I'm a smart guy. Either way. All right.
Okay.
Anyway, Swim, you look dashing today, young man. How are you?
I know. Is that a pineapple shirt?
Yeah, man.
Oh, shit. Wait. Have we talked about pineapple on pizza yet?
Well, there's only one way this conversation ends, Sansfan.
I can't remember if I've done this on this podcast or another one because I have a long rant to go on.
Dude, okay. I mean, I think I feel what you're putting down, my guy. Like, I'm pretty sure I know which side of the fence you're on.
I don't know if you do.
You really strike me.
Yes.
As a hardcore pineapple fan.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, there we go. Easy. Birds of a feather. So you get me. Pineapples on pizza, pineapples on shirts.
I'm sorry to make this into a huge tangent, but I just love doing that. I have a theory on people that hate pineapple on pizza. I've categorized them into three subsections, okay? Mm. Number one is people that just don't like pineapple. So if you don't like pineapple, you're not going to like pineapple on pizza. So that should be irrelevant. Number two, people that don't like sweet things in their food. I know a lot of people like this. I, for one, love sweetness in my general food, not just for dessert. I want sweets all day long. Okay, that's number two. Number three are people that have only tried Hawaiian pizza, which is horrible, by the way, because the ham actually ruins the pizza by itself.
I mean, you just hate ham.
That's another story.
But it's true. Yeah, he does pineapple on pepperoni.
Oh. Swim?
Yeah.
What do you got for me,
buddy?
Yeah.
No, no, no. Hey, man. If it's up to me, I eat nothing but sweets all day, every day. And, I mean, unfortunately, it is up to me.
Or fortunate. I mean, you're an adult. If you want to have ice cream for breakfast, that's your prerogative.
We're well on our way to a nice case of diabetes.
Yeah, but then, you know, I mean, you do that too much. You just end up a great big fatso, you know?
I'm getting there. Nikki can attest. When I met
Nikki...
I had
Nikki, to hide. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
When I met Nikki, I was a skinny guy, actually. And for Halloween, I can't believe we're still going off on a tangent. We'll get started with this podcast very soon, I promise. We had Halloween candy, and I had to tell her to hide it from me. Because I was literally just eating it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for like 3 days straight. So
yeah.
Okay. Anyway, let's get started with this actual podcast, friends. So
oh yeah, I forgot this was an artifact thing.
Yes. So what I want to talk about first, I'll just run down real quick. We'll talk about the preview tournament, and then we got some website features coming out, and then a couple things coming up in the future. Tournaments that we can talk about as well. But let's start with the preview tournament. Nikki and I both played. Swim, you cast.
Yes.
How did you enjoy yourself? We'll go with each of you. Start with Swim.
I had a blast.
Can you elaborate?
It was a fun experience. I mean, some people, there was criticism, which was very fair, because at the start, you know, the direction was a little off. We all, you know, were not doing basic enough. We were able to kind of like pick it up a lot towards kind of the back half, and overall it was great. It's good to be able to kind of actually finally cast the game, because there's so much to talk about. It's such a different experience casting other card games, because like in most other card games, I mean, like you're kind of reaching for things to say almost sometimes, in a lot of times, whereas an artifact, you're deciding between like which of like 10 different things you want to talk about, and that's so much of a different actual experience.
Interesting. But yeah, there was a little hate, and you guys turned it around quite nicely, I have to say. Made it more noob stream friendly, as it were.
100% of the criticism was fair. Like, it was, you know, we definitely just didn't go like basic enough.
I mean, from my perspective, it's like, we've been playing this game. I know this is, people get mad when we say, we've been playing for a long time. I'm just itching so hard to cast it. You know, it's hard to go back to the ultra basics when you've been playing that long.
I mean, you've done the noob stream for Dota. It gets like, I mean, I wouldn't say tiring, but there's like some weird like fatigue that happens
tiring.
And you just keep bringing up the most basic stuff like all the time on like, you know, and however hour long like cast. Because you always like, there's always going to be people coming in that miss like the first half, and then you're like,
exactly.
Well, you can't keep catering to them. It's unfortunate.
The noob stream was every 20 minutes. I'm like, Enigma has black hole. This is what this skill
yeah,
does.
Yeah.
And just keep repeating exactly. It every 20 minutes. It's mind numbing.
That's kind of what we were doing by the end.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Okay, so from a player perspective, both Nikki and I play. We both got raffle stomped, but Nikki got to play the Great Forsen and was on stream actually. Apparently I played Forsen a bunch of times as well. I just never knew it was him until this stream revealed it.
Yeah.
Nikki, how was that game for you?
It was good that I won. It was very frustrating throughout. Like, I don't think they caught the whole game. I mean, I was running a tricolor deck, unfortunately. Fortunately, I mean, sometimes you have no choice, right? But I had
tricolor is great.
No,
I mean, I don't mind them depending on the colors, but mine was okay. I think I struggled the most trying to place my Kana in a proper position to, you know, take tower damage and all that stuff. But then always like being scared because like since we get to see, you know, what cards they have on their side, you know, you're like holding on to cards. Man, if he's going to play that Thunderhive, he's going to play that big card. And you're like,
that's actually an interesting point because for so much of the gauntlet that we played, the draft gauntlet, we have not been able to see cards.
Right.
And I'm interested to hear what you guys think. Well, like, what do you prefer?
Seeing cards all the way.
You always want to see cards.
100%, yeah.
this is, okay, I'm going to say one thing, and then you can elaborate. I will disagree to a point. If I'm in public matchmaking, let's say, I don't want to see their cards. It gets too tiring having to do this. So I just want to have fun and play. If he comes out with something crazy, ha ha ha, that's great, you know? For the everyday thing, I don't like it.
I do think that, I mean, for the most part, there's only a few cards in the game in draft that you really actually have to kind of pay mind to. Like at the start of the game, you can be like, okay, he's got a Red Mist Pillager in his deck. You know, maybe I'm going to have to be wary of that after like turn five or so. I don't know. For the most part, I don't think it's really a disadvantage. Like for most games, it's not going to make a difference whether you look at your opponent's deck or not, really, for most players.
I think from a competitive standpoint, I definitely want to see it because it really does affect the way you play. I think like Swim, you were the one like casting like the game I played against Forsen where I was holding on to Slay just because I had no idea if he was going to play that big card or not, and that pretty much is like a GG if he does. But from a entertainment/streaming standpoint, there's definitely something to not knowing what your opponent has, and out of nowhere he's like, you know, bam, here's like my blue eyes white dragon. 100%.
There's a fun factor to that, and I think the main like from the tournament aspect, there's no, obviously everybody should be able to see everybody's decks. That's, you can't have people that, I mean, I assume you have more experience in this than me, but I know Valve's stance was if people are working together against somebody else in the tournament or something like that and they have more information, then that's just kind of dumb the way that works. Does that actually happen in other card games on a consistent basis?
People like screen sharing?
More so, are these decks not shared throughout the whole player base?
I see what you're saying. You mean like people working on decks like and making them and refining them together, and then like just bring like people from that group, that prep group, bringing them together?
kind of, but more so within a tournament aspect. So you know what the other players have at all times.
Yeah, that does largely happen. Like, usually there will be, like, kind of metas where you'll be like, okay, this person has this deck, and maybe, okay, there's a chance it'll have this variant, which makes it, like, one or two cards different, right?
I see, okay.
Like,
that's, like, but, the last, like, not last constructed, the one of the last constructed tournaments, right, with the Silomani, like,
Silomani?
So that being said, though, that's a really big difference between constructed and draft. I think that what Nikki said was very, very good, which is that sometimes for the streaming and even like tournament viewership perspective, it's good to have the surprise factor. I think the biggest differentiator between the arguments of like whether there should be visible deck lists or not is I think it's amazing in draft. And in constructed, maybe there's less an argument because in constructed, you might want to be able to put a card in that gets surprise value, right? Maybe Caught Unprepared in your deck or something
Smash
like that.
Smash the Defenses, like, your favorite.
Sure.
That you hate is in all my decks.
Right. There are arguments for a surprise value in there, but in draft, I think like part of the reason people love Artifact Draft is because you can actually play around what the opponent has, which is a large part of the skill in playing card games that is usually limited to constructed in those games.
Right.
Because in constructed, you identify, okay, it's this deck, I'm playing around these.
Why do you hate Smash in my decks? It's so good. Yes. Every time I have it in my deck, you're like, you got too many of those, bro. I have two. There's two. How is that too many?
It's a hard meta call, honestly. Smash. It can be good.
You know, when I see it in draft, I pick it up every time and I never regret it. Even raise I get on a decently consistent basis. That's a great one of.
Improvements are very strong. Like
in draft, especially.
It's in draft, yeah. I mean, it's just like, because I normally people try not to prioritize like, you know, improvement killing cards, you know, like if you have one or two, I mean, double mists or something like that. I'm just like, I'm so sad. I'm just going to rage quit, but I don't. And I play it out and get depressed.
Yeah, I was looking at some of the decks for the top eight and I don't understand how people are consistently getting such good cards to pick. You should see my draft, Swim. They're fucking garbage.
Your first one was pretty good, right?
Yeah, first one was okay. This is what happens, okay? This is what happens. I start out 3-0 in the tournament. I'm feeling really good about myself. And then I draft again, and I draft something complete shit. But this time, it was completely my fault. I felt like the last tournament, I did really shitty because there's nothing I could have done with that draft. It was just unsalvageable. But this time, I took a huge risk, and it did not pay off. I took one of my least favorite heroes in draft, but my favorite hero in constructed, which is Sorla Khan. But I didn't have enough to go with her to
You don't like Sorla Khan in draft?
It depends on what I have accompanying her. If I have cards.
That's true.
If not, her card is actually not that great if you don't have a lot of other stuff to go with it. So
yeah,
it was a shitty ass draft, and that was my fault. So I felt real bad about that. But speaking of Sorla, we can talk about the winners of the preview tournament. Hefla, a.k.a. Yul Larson, got number one placement with double Sorla freaking Khan. Nothing makes me happier. That was hilarious. The games were not very close with him playing. I think he was undefeated as well. What were your thoughts on him?
Some of them were pretty close. He got some good drafts. He's a very good player.
Did you want to play in the tournament, Swim? How did you come to the decision not to play?
I did. Ooh, great question. I did want to play. I don't know.
But
I
couldn't win, right? Obviously.
I mean...
Way to make it awkward, Swim. Jesus.
That's true. I don't know. I thought about it for a bit. I kind of just wanted to like go there and hang out. But at the same time, I will be playing in another tournament down the road. We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
Okay.
I don't want to be like locked into this like caster meme forever. Right. I will say.
Another mention. Obviously, Mogwai got second place. Dane and Kuro got top four. Mm-hmm. Can somebody explain that to me? Kuro, how is that possible? He doesn't even play that much.
He's good, man.
I think he does. A lot of the pro players like play with just like really weird names since I have a lot of them on my list. I just see them on
Humble Brag.
So do you, though. You don't just don't.
Yeah, I don't say it, you know. I don't need the humble brag.
I'm just saying that, like, a lot of them actually do play. So
yeah, they do. I mean, who was it? Who's the guy that won TI? I haven't watched Dota in so long.
Topson.
Topson plays a lot.
Yeah, I play Topson a lot. I don't think I've beat him yet, though. It's always so close.
So for Kuro, I didn't get to watch any of his non-top eight performances. He made a ton of mistakes and he got fourth place. What is that? Do you think that his deck was just that good or is it something else? So you got to cast these games. It's not like it was just basic. This is not me flaming him at all because obviously the TI winner, whatever. He was making mechanical mistakes consistently, like with Mystic Flare, incorrect usage multiple times. Had obviously never played against Necro before because he got the upkeep kills on himself several times by equipping like an armor item. I didn't understand.
It was a little really good weird. Deck. So no, his deck wasn't even like ridiculous. It was fairly good. It was mostly deployment decisions. I will say one thing in Artifact is there's kind of two types of strategies. There's like the micro, which is basically like value trading, which is the kind of mistake you're talking about. And then there's the more macro strategy, which is like lane deployments, choosing which lanes to fight for. And he was very good at, you know, utilizing the latter kind of strategy, which is going to be the predominant strategy in Artifact. You can have weak cards or you can make like minor efficiency misplays. And as long as you are playing for the right lanes, you will have a pretty good win rate.
Okay.
Because deployments are going to matter so much.
Yeah, deployments were a killer for me. I was 3-2, so I still was technically alive. And then I lost to a guy where I deployed incorrectly. I made a terrible choice, as usual. I always crumble under pressure. His Ancient ends up living with 2 HP, and he gets top 8. I felt so bad. So bad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's kind of the thing about Artifacts. Like, the deployment mistakes or very smart deployments are always going to matter so much more than like these little value exchanges.
Okay, so for this first quote-unquote tournament that's been publicly available to see, Nikki, since you and I were both out somewhat early, we got to watch the last day. What did you think of the tournament as a whole? Did you enjoy watching? Because we don't, that's the other thing to keep in mind. We can't watch games, right. Really. No. You know, I haven't been able to watch games at all till now.
I mean, the view that I caught, I thought it was entertaining, at least like, so I'm not a pro player, but
really?
You know, having like the
okay
but having like the experience,
damn man, come on.
But having the experience, Jesus. Of you know, obviously like watching a lot of tournaments, doing a lot of tournaments, like production wise I thought it was very good. I'm excited to see or curious to see what sort of things we can implement, at least like from a viewer standpoint that could probably assist in the game. Something that like I wish I could see either Valve themselves add or at least like shout out tournament organizers put that on there is I want to know like what round someone's playing out of like a best of three.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Something like that, like having like an overall score.
It's like a little ticker somewhere. Yeah,
that's true. Right. So I because I think that like helps as far as like understanding, because if you know like they're playing either into well into like their second or third game, then you both guys will be like familiar with either like the play style or what their strategy is like when they're playing like that deck, right? Other than just like knowing what's the cards. So I think that's something that I would like to see like moving forward. But I don't know, otherwise like it was pretty entertaining. I like the idea that there was like such a diverse like group of people like playing, so and it's been like that I think like for a lot
God, we got
even,
a
like,
Dota player to represent.
I know, who was it that said that you know, no Dota player is gonna make top eight?
So, okay.
I wonder who that was.
That, Swim? That
was me. I will say, no. To clarify, I didn't actually mean it like that. Like Lumi was asking me like which background I thought was the strongest. It was kind of like a bad joke. I think a lot of players don't realize that I am like an old Dota player. Like probably people came in and saw me like ripping on Dota players or something. But no, I mean I think that there's a lot of transfers of skill, really. I just haven't seen as many like Dota players, because I mean you guys can kind of confirm when you're usually like playing on like the not ladder, because there is no ladder, but right. When you're playing other people on Artifact, there's fairly few like Dota players that are actually like, you know, grinding at as hard.
Right.
Just so you know, I got top 8 in the tournament swim, okay? The only Chaos Gauntlet. My least favorite game mode, ironically. But no, I mean, that's pretty obvious. Like, card game players are going to have way more experience in card games. And I mean, I think some skill does actually translate from Dota to Artifact, but not mechanical. That's for sure. All that goes by the wayside.
No, I think a ton of skill transfers. Like, there's no reason Dota players can't like be top players if they apply themselves. I just haven't seen, because like all the pro Dota players are like doing like, you know, the Dota League stuff.
Yeah, most of them are at the major right now, or like at least when that tournament happened.
Yeah, if the major wasn't on, then we would have had a way bigger representation in the top 8. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
definitely. All right, moving on. So that was the preview tournament. Now we can talk about the new features to our website. Let me just make sure that this is working. So I can... Oh, yes. There we go. Beautiful. So on our website, artifaction.gg, if you're following along on the stream, you can watch. If you are listening, then you can listen.
Oh, wow.
That's how it works, I know. We have come out with a couple things. We'll start with the card gallery. So we have a card gallery. We brought on the guy who made Howling Mind. His name is Squirty. That guy's a god, by the way. Thanks. He got really high placement in the tournament, actually.
Yeah, I saw that.
Was it top 20 or something like that?
Yeah.
How did he do against you?
Oh, my. All right. I don't want to go off another tangent here. I was 3-0, and then I played him the first game of the first round, the next round. He crushed me so hard. I've never lost to him before. I got so crushed. It was not even close. Anywho, card gallery itself, you know, like a lot of the other card galleries out there. One big difference, though, and that's a big reason that Swim is a part of a lot of these podcasts, because he is a partner along with Stan Sifka. If you click on a card, it'll actually have a mango meter. I shouldn't have clicked on Jamoy. That's just depressing, seeing such a low rating.
Yeah.
Essentially, every single card in the game, if you click on this, you can see the signature card, has a constructed and a draft mango meter. A 1-5 rating, where Swim is the constructed expert and Stan Sifka is the draft. And then if you are logged into either Steam or Discord, you can use the Tango rating or the Tango meter to vote for. This is more of like a popularity thing, if anything, to give your 2 cents on how good a card is or is not. And actually, there's a ratings tab on the card gallery, so you can kind of see how everything stacks up from one thing to another. Obviously, consider this still in beta. We're going to be adding things, and if you guys have any feedback, let us know on the Reddit thread that we posted not too long ago. Swim, thanks. I'm pretty sure you made these ratings like 2 months, three. How long ago was it?
So, okay, I first rated them like 2 months ago, but I've gone back like 3 different times, because I didn't know when you were actually launching this thing, and I wanted them to be like as accurate as possible. So every time, like, you know, every month I go through them and change like the three or four things, maybe like bump things up or down just a tiny bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a process, though.
Is there any cards that like you and Stan just like are complete opposites on?
Well, he does the draft ones, and I do the constructed.
Oh, I see.
Ones.
Yeah, but even so, was there anything that you would disagree with on his ratings?
Just minor stuff, just like a 0.5 here, a 0.5 there. Not major. Not really. Yeah. Nothing like that. It's not like, wow, I actually think that, like, you know, Lodestone Demolition is the next thing. Like, nothing like that now.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'm looking at the ratings here, and I'm going to tell you if I disagree with any of yours. Ursa, seriously, a four? Come on, buddy. What is this shit?
You know what? If you disagree, you're totally free to, you know, take your voice to the voting booth and increase the tango meter.
Guys, we need propaganda to kind of start a movement. Get somebody that's really bad as a high tango rating. So, who's the Odie's the worst in the game, right? Let's go to Odie.
Odie's pretty bad.
Is there a worse hero in the game? I think Meepo's better than Odie.
I think I agree.
Pugna,
with that.
Maybe.
Pugna, no. Come
on. Worse, Pugna or Odie?
Odie's way worse.
I wouldn't disagree with you. If you said Odie was the worst in the game, I wouldn't die on that hill.
All right, so Odie's, this is what you bad. All need to do. You need to go to the card gallery.
Two mangoes.
Open up OD. Somehow he's a 1.5 mango. I don't know how the fuck that's possible.
Oh, that's a half. Okay.
Where does that half mango come from, Swim? Seriously. What is this?
Like, he has kind of a unique ability. So when I do constructed rankings, like, it's still obviously a very low score, but because he has like combo potential, like if they release like more things that can just capitalize on like that kind of like,
so you're future proofing. I see.
A little bit, yes. Okay. And it's just half a point for that kind of thing.
All right, so everybody get on this site, go to OD, vote for the 5 rating for both draft. And look how much I just affected the rating. I just jumped it up from like 1 to 3.7 or whatever it was. That's beautiful. So
wow.
So yeah, that's our card
that's
gallery.
A collusion.
In the future, when the NDA is lifted, every single card in the game will have a video underneath, because that is what I've been doing the last million years of my life. So you can see all the spotlights slash...
Oh, God. How many hours have you spent on that?
Dude, I want to actually kill myself when I'm doing this video. I just finished writing the scripts. The scripts is actually the worst part for me.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't do the editing itself. It's me writing the scripts and then recording. Recording's not so bad, but yeah, writing the scripts is... like. In fact, I did OD yesterday. I saved him for like almost last because I didn't know what to write. In fact, you guys can look forward to the spotlight video of me basically talking shit about this hero because I don't know what else to say.
Oh,
why can't
geez,
just
dude.
Make it educational? I keep telling you that you don't want to like talk too much shit on a video.
No, I don't. I exaggerate. All right. I said he's considered quite weak and I don't know how to play this. No, I don't know. I don't know what I said.
You it spin matter. It then.
Yes, spin. So that
does that mean I'm stuck in the room all day today?
Yes, I need to record all day today. Thank you. So yeah, that is the card gallery. And the other thing I wanted to go over is our new stats page. So we're going to be having stats created for every tournament coming out. And obviously, first, there's only one tournament to go over, which is the Artifact Preview. We did not include player names on purpose. Just a little FYI, I don't know if we're allowed to, so we did not do anything like that, just in case. Did you have a chance to, either of you have a chance to look over these stats? Some interesting...
I'm looking at the... I'm having a peek right now.
So the thing that... I mean, if you click on the top times pick...
Our conversation last night, right? Yeah, OD, you were tripping out that someone like played him.
Yeah, I could not believe it.
To the point where you had me look at my decks to see if I played him. Like,
yeah, so just to clarify, the times picked is not how many times he was drafted, but how many times he was actually put into a deck. Because sometimes you get stuck picking OD no matter what, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I drafted him, but I did not play him.
Apparently, user ratings are disabled for now as they're causing some bugs. Oh. So Tango rating needs to hold off for now, friends. Right. So the thing that I found interesting was like a lot of the rare heroes, how many times they were actually, because when one of these rare heroes comes up, like a Drow Ranger or an Axe, it almost doesn't matter what colors you have. You kind of just have to pick them that good.
Yeah,
and Drow was only basically got picked 4 times. That's incredibly low. I was very surprised by that. An Axe 5, Tinker 7.
Do you think it's just like because of how rare she was that she just didn't show up in people's?
Yeah, but I think I'm just surprised that it's that little still. Mm-hmm. I feel like they come up more often than that, but I could be wrong. Right. Obviously, small sample size in terms of, you know, me playing Gauntlet on my own. But Lich is a rare, got picked 13 times, so that's like double the rest of everybody else, which is interesting. Did any stat here kind of look weird to you guys? Something you didn't expect, maybe?
Nope. It all looks pretty good. High representation of Debbie and Farvran. Debbie and Farvran, and those are to be expected. I think that's right. Like as you kind of track player skill for draft, a couple trends you see is that like good players are probably going to be feeling less bad about using basic heroes, as well as less bad about like tri-coloring.
Yeah,
so that's true. Great. She's
yeah.
I love Debbie. I love me some Debbie. So I know there's some people talking about this in chat, and I've noticed a lot of people, of course, we're Americans, so we obviously know what flop, turn, and river means, since it's kind of ingrained in our culture, as it were. But the flop, this is all basically poker terms. A flop is the board state right away. So the three heroes being distributed to each respective lane. The turn is the following turn. And the river is the quote unquote last hero being deployed turn. So this just says the distribution of how often they were in each respective position. And if we scroll down, we can look at the most popular cards.
Dude, somebody flopped Sniper.
Really?
Well, I mean, it could depend on the deck, I guess.
Yeah.
In theory.
That's rough. A 6 health hero on the flop is super rough.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's necessary, I guess.
Popular cards. Draft like 3 snipers.
How Mist of Avernus feels like it came up a lot. 58 times.
Yeah.
As an uncommon.
Yeah.
That's a very strong card, as you guys attested to. And it's hilarious. Thunderhide pack 100.
Smash, right?
Yeah, exactly. Smash. Is Smash even on here?
No, nope. I don't think so.
No, dude. Smash blows.
You suck. That's why you didn't play at the tournament, Swim. You piece of garbage. But yeah, pretty cool stats here. Shout out to Knoxville for putting all this together along with Buka. And you can see the most popular color decks as well in terms of win rate and games played. So pretty cool stuff. And just look forward to this section being kind of our stats page for every tournament coming up going forward. Yeah.
This is actually pretty neat. Like, I feel like I'll be personally getting a lot of value out of this. Not a sponsored comment.
Great to hear. All right, going back to the webcams. There we go. Excellent. All right.
Oh,
so
thank God that was close. I really appreciate you giving
me
that heads up.
You didn't go over the most popular deck color, because I know you guys in the panel were kind of talking about whether at least like which decks were like really strong. In draft, and then there was like this interesting like divide that I thought as far as like how strong like blue decks are when it comes to these things versus like red or green, and then how often it actually came up during the tournament, which was to me was actually surprising because even I ended up with like a blue deck at some point. Yeah, I mean I had I think first and second game I had blue decks or first and second.
Yeah, so this is. Like right now listed by games played. Hopefully in the future they'll be able to add. I wanted to see the win rate more than anything. Good distribution all the way around, and obviously the least consistent decks are going to be like the rainbow.
I mean, no, look at them. You have like a tricolor up there.
Well, yeah, tricolor
red, green, black is
tricolor is relatively normal in draft, but rainbow is atrocious. I don't know how you can make rainbow work.
These are basically just like looking at all the different combinations and their individual win rates across like every single. Huh.
Yeah, pretty much. And I think the one Knoxville is going to end up changing this up in the future, but the rainbow decks that are listed, it kind of obviously every rainbow decks can technically be a different color that has the two. But
yeah,
we've kind of combined them all into one. So it's not the greatest representation, but still interesting to see. Not super surprised that a tricolor deck with blue black has a 38% win rate, for example. Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
I think that's the hardest to play, or one of the hardest.
That's what I had.
Yeah. That explains
it. And whatever.
All right, anywho.
I won. Okay.
Back to the webcams.
Go.
So from here we do have a couple more topics to go over. Swim and I will be attending the BTS, what do we call it? The Arta Party, launch party.
Arty Party?
Partifact.
Partifact.
That's a good one.
Fartifact. How about that one?
God.
What's wrong with that? This will be this weekend, right? When am I leaving?
Yeah.
I leave Friday. Wow. So 17th through the 19th, I believe. I don't know what we'll be doing. I haven't really been told that much.
Oh, yeah, it is. You're right. You're right.
I don't know. I don't know how much of like what they've planned is public at this point. It'll be just like fun friend matches kind of stuff, though.
Yeah, should be good. Should be a lot of fun to hang around some card game players, and then Swim, of course, who's a category all by his lonesome. And then the last thing I'd like to discuss is the We Play tournament that was announced. It is a $10,000 tournament constructed, which we found out recently, which should be really interesting because I've been doing only draft for months now. has a lot of really good players playing. It's online, but the talent, aka casters, will be attending in person, Kiev. I will be going to Kiev for the first time, and Swim will be accompanying me. Bring some warm clothing, my friend. That's not going to cut it.
I don't have any warm clothing.
Dude, when we did Captain's Draft last year in DC, that was the coldest it's ever been in DC in like 50 something years. I could not believe. And that's not as cold. Kiev is cold.
Your mic's popping a little, Shan.
Testing.
But I'm going to have Shan bring like a bunch of like hand warmers and stuff. So he can share.
No.
What do you mean? I'm putting it in your luggage no matter what. So
I don't want to help Swim out.
That and Pepto. Are you going to be like, yeah, I mean, every time we put Pepto in his luggage, though, TSA gets triggered.
Yeah,
they always search his bag.
They always search my bag.
But you'll have that. So like, you know, in case like the pineapples in Ukraine, like aren't very good, then. You'll be taken care of.
Are you a Pepto guy, Swim?
No, sir.
Are you sure?
I mean, you know, we could try it.
Cherry flavor.
Cherry flavor.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm in.
There you go. So the talent there, if I'm remembering at the top of my head, the Charmer, Mogwai, who got second place at the tournament, and Impetuous Panda, along with me and Swim. What am I doing there, Swim? What am I going to be doing exactly?
I don't know. Casting?
How am I going to cast a card game?
I can try to kind of do some rehearsals, bring you up to speed.
Just carry me, please. But yeah, are you excited to... Have you been to Kiev before?
No.
Are you excited to go to Kiev?
I am. It might be a little chilly, I guess. Hmm. You know. It'll be fun. Yeah. No, that's
I saw some pictures of the studio. It looks pretty legit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it looks really legit. The inside. I don't know about the outside. But...
Your dollars go a long way in Kiev, too. So get a lot of massages, Shan.
Oh, I will.
Did he tell you about his massage in China?
No. This sounds like quite the story, though.
Well, now
I need to hear it.
Well, first of all, I love getting massages in other countries because they're cheaper. And apparently every other country is better at giving massages than American. American massages suck ass, let me tell you.
They really do.
Like the Chinese, I don't know what they do. Like I have very sensitive skin, okay? They beat on you, right? They beat on you, but you don't feel sore after. I don't know how that's possible. So these Chinese or where else did I get a massage? Filipino massages are unbelievable. Mm-hmm. One time in China, they did ask me if I would like, she pointed at my penis and said, you want? And I was like, no, thank you. I appreciate the offer though.
Yeah.
So that's one thing you have to look out for, unless that's your thing. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
I mean, some people have tried them, so.
I've always been curious.
They also do that thing with the fire stick in your ear.
Yeah, that's pretty weird. They put a fire stick in your ear. That's basically the story. Anyway,
hey man, I'll try anything once.
I'll keep that in mind. Thank you. yeah, that should be fun. That's going to be the end of November and early December. So look out for that tournament. I'm actually interested to see like what the prize pools are going to be like for tournaments, other than obviously the Valve one, because $10,000. That's in terms of like. If you compare it to where we come from, which is Dota, very low. Like, nobody can actually pull off a $10,000 tournament.
No.
But in this one, you have, like, every pro player playing. How is it in other card games, Swim, from your experience in terms of prize pool? Like, what are you expecting?
I don't know. A little higher than $10,000. I think something in the five-figure range is absolutely fine. Like, $130,000. I mean, it's as you said, it's a little low. But
what's the highest prize pool in Gwent history?
For a single tournament?
Yes.
100.
100K? Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Pretty good. Okay.
It's not terrible.
Yeah, not bad. All right, I think.
I mean, it's also online too, right? This one, 10K for online only.
Well, for the players.
Yeah. Yeah. But the players are the ones who get the money. So, yeah, right. I mean, I think for an online, like, 10 is totally fine.
Mm. Yeah, it should be fun to see Constructed, since I know a lot of people that aren't in the beta have not seen any Constructed at all as of yet, aside from PAX, which that doesn't really feel like Constructed, since the decks weren't really...
Those were predetermined Constructed, right? So
yeah, just four decks that were... kind of weird.
I mean, I have four lock decks right now that I am so dying to show people that, how amazing it is.
They're not good. Let me...
Oh, please.
Spoiler! Not good.
Mello has helped me with like a bunch of them. So yeah, Mello. Me and Mello, I think they're the only two people that enjoy lock decks.
You know, Mello can't win without Drow and Ogre. Those are his two staples. Just throwing it out there. Okay, I think that is the end of the podcast, actually. This is a shorter podcast, a much shorter. Holy crap, we're at 42 minutes only.
No, dude, we've got to extend.
Ideal,
no, this is how long I wanted the podcast to be originally. This is great. Swim, any final words for everybody watching and listening?
You know, I've really got you always put me on the spot at the end of these things.
Nikki, any great things to say at the end?
Stay tuned for these upcoming tournaments. The NDA lift is coming very soon. A lot of people are going to have a lot of really fun stuff planned. Streams up the butt for everybody. Everybody and their mother will be streaming, so keep a lookout, I guess.
Let's just all go watch Crip. I think we're all going to watch Crip anyway.
I know. So. That's what's good. It's going to be Crip, Day 9, Disguised Toast, Bulldog, Sing Sing. Those are the five. There we go. Everybody
Swim is
else,
the sixth. Swim's coming for you.
No, I'm not even going to be streaming. I'm just going to watch Sing Sing.
Sounds good.
I'm just going to snipe Sing and then be like, what's up, bro?
All right, so thanks for watching. Thanks for listening, guys. Again, go to artifaction.gg for a couple of these new sections that we've released. We got more coming, obviously. It's kind of like a slow grind in some respects. Thanks to Swim and Stancifica for partnering with us. Thanks to Sajidine for coming on this episode. Until next time, friends, goodbye. And Godspeed. Somebody else says that. I shouldn't be taking somebody else's. Who says that?
And
no, I need... okay, bye.